Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRE Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRE Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRE staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic we've discussed this week?
Well, there's a lot of job seekers out there that are hitting what I'm calling an artificial intelligence brick wall. So for those of you guys that are listening that are searching, at the end of today's roundtable, you're going to better understand why your applications are going into a black hole and how to change it, because there is a black hole. So we're going to talk about what's causing it, how to change it, and we're actually titling today's theme, The Death of the Job Portal. Why your resume is disappearing in 2026. And for those of you guys listening, you know, I've been in the hiring seat for over three decades, coming up on four decades, actually. I've just dated myself here. But, you know, I've worked with teams with IBM. I had projects that spanned across 17,000 people. And then, of course, running this niche recruitment firm. So from large companies to small, I've seen it all. And I wrote this week about the fact that I've just never seen the industry as noisy as it is right now. And so what I can say is that the apply button is officially broken. And the reason why I would say that, and this is so important for job seekers, is that in the application portal in general, we're seeing a really horrifying blend of individuals that are applying. And right now, our numbers show, and by the way, the industry supports this. I'm glad to provide statistics to anybody who doesn't believe me. But about 60% of the applicants that are applying through our portal have falsified all or part of their credentials. 60%, you guys. And I'm not talking about embellishing. I'm talking about actual falsification. They falsified their employment. They're saying they work for companies when they didn't. They're saying they work for companies that don't exist. They're saying that they have experiences they've never had. They have degrees they don't have. They falsify their references. It is a huge plague out there. And for those of you guys that are legit, you're competing with that. Additionally, I'm seeing more and more data that proves that at least 20% of the applicant pool are ghost candidates. They're not even real people. They're created by artificial intelligence to capture information from companies like ours. And so you're competing against that too. So out of 100 candidates or applicants, you would only be 20%. You would only be in the 20%, maybe is a better way to put it, of real legit applicants. The noise is horrible. And so the fatigue on both sides of the black hole, me on the receiving side of the black hole and you guys on the application side of the black hole, it's just egregious. So it's really a tough scenario. So we're going to talk to you about how to navigate it today. And what I'll ask the team and what we'll prompt the team with is today's discussion is going to answer the question, why does a real candidate with a great background get ghosted in today's job market?
It's a really good question, Angela. I think that key is you're not competing with other people necessarily. You're competing with that tidal wave of noise that you just talked about, that 60% falsification, the 20% AI ghosts, I guess you could say, and then that 20% are real. And so recruiters, we now spend, I think, it's an average of less than 6 seconds is what we figured out on an initial resume screen, because we're scanning for fraud flags first, these red flags. Are you even real, first of all? Is this fake content? And then is it valid? Is it has it been falsified? Is this person trying to deceive us, or, you know, whether on purpose or accidentally, either one, not great, right? And then trying to even get to the real people. And then of those 20% of real applicants, do you even have the skills and qualifications that we're looking for this position, right? You could be a totally real, valid candidate, but are you even qualified for this position that you've applied for? So there's so many layers to this. I'm really glad we're talking about it. So I, I feel like the first one we should address is why you might think the ATS is working against you. There's a technological reality going on here. Hiring teams like ours, we have to rely on the ATS. And in case anybody out there is like, what is an ATS? That's short for an applicant tracking system. So this is what we use to filter out the noise. We have to. It's a shield, so we're not spinning our wheels, wasting time trying to find the needle in the haystack. So if a resume isn't optimized for specific keywords or CRA-specific terms, the system will reject it before a human eye ever gets to see it. It's like an automatic rejection. Not to accidentally weed out the qualified people, because that happens sometimes, but we have to protect our time from the obvious garbage out there. So you, as the job seeker, you have to optimize your materials to get through this first pass. If we have a job that has specific needs, maybe it's experience in a specific therapeutic or a specific skill set, you have to have those words in your materials so that when we search for them in the system, you bubble up to the top and you don't get lost, because we just have to use things like this to protect our time. It's this concept of volume fatigue.
I think it's a really good point, because whenever I'm coaching people, they'll say, well, the job is a project manager job. And so I've got project management here, there. I mean, it's obvious. You look at my resume. I've been a project manager for, whatever. I'm like, yeah, but you don't have the word project manager. You've got the word project management. Now, you guys might think that I've lost my head here, but this is important. These are dumb machines. They are doing actual searches. Now, you can set up artificial intelligence to do what they call a contained search. But that means that someone on the back end has to understand that you're partially spelling project manage, just in case someone has project manager, project management. You guys can't assume that the people that are setting these systems up on the back end are that thoughtful. If the job description has breast cancer in it as a requirement, and you have breast cancer experience, use the term breast cancer. Don't use oncology, or use them both and cover your bets. You do have to match this. And to Becky's point, it's because we on the other side of the black hole, we have that volume fatigue that's going through. I've written about this before. When I was looking for Savannah, I placed an ad on Indeed, because we don't search LinkedIn for admin professionals. So I placed this ad on Indeed. Within like 5 to 10 minutes, I had 287 applicants, and Indeed thought something fishy was going on. So they shut down my job. And I was so grateful, because I was like, how in the world am I going to keep up with this? 287 applicants, you guys, this is what's happening on the other side. And I'm not trying to say this to make the job seekers feel like it's disheartening. And we're going to get to other options to be able to help you navigate this. But what I am saying is that if you are hitting the apply button, to Becky's point, make sure you've looked at that job description and you have matching keywords where it's relevant.
I think another thing that's so important is your brand. I know nowadays that's shown online so much, and you can kind of count on the fact that a possible employer is going to do a digital footprint search for you. Mm-hmm. So we do those. Most people seem to, when I looked this up, about 70% of employers do a digital footprint search of candidates, and that was from a few years ago. So it's probably more now. So you want to make sure what they're seeing when they look is that you're a real person, first of all, that you mm-hmm. you have some things out there. Of course, LinkedIn is important. You want them to see that you've been posting in your field out there, so that they see you are a real person. And they'll be looking for both red flags and green flags. So, you want to make sure, of course, that it's professional, that your footprint out there is professional and appropriate. Your photos are appropriate, what you've posted. No one wants to see, oh, this person's ranting and raving on their Facebook or something. Are they going to act like that in the office? So mm-hmm. Make sure what's public out there for people to see is what you want them to see. But also, of course, there's green flags. So, your posts could be about, your clinical research experience. That could be a great way to show your experience and your communication skills and your creativity. So,
and that you're real for once, that you're actually real, you're active on there. That makes you not a candidate for being a ghost.
Exactly. And one thing that I've noticed is that LinkedIn does offer the options. You can verify your employer using your work email on LinkedIn, which is a great thing to do to show, I really work here. So, definitely kind of keep your brand in mind and what you're putting out online for employers to see.
Yeah. And, you know, and I want to spend a couple of seconds on this topic because it's so important. Jenny, I love that you brought this up because your brand is so really, really critical. And what I will tell you is that a lot of agencies like ours, we spend more time looking for individuals than we do answering the application portal. And what I mean by that is there's a term called looking for passive candidates, and which means that we're actually going out on LinkedIn and we're actually doing keyword searches on LinkedIn and we're looking for you. And I tell this to people whenever I'm coaching them is if you have a really good LinkedIn profile, you'll never have to apply to another job in your life because you're going to have people like me and Natalie and Jenny and, you know, Maya, we're going to be reaching out to you and saying, oh, my God, your resume, your credentials on LinkedIn look fabulous. We've got something that would be perfect. Would you be interested in considering it? You're a passive candidate. We're looking for people that match your qualifications and we're going to reach out to you. And that's your money spot. That means you don't have to hit the apply button anymore. That means you just got to have a really nice brand on LinkedIn that's getting you found. And we've got lots of webinars on how you can button up your LinkedIn profile. But it's worth doing that because how would it feel as a job seeker to never hit the apply button again? And that's what a really great brand will do for you.
And another thing is don't forget about the power of referrals. That can either be good or bad. And it has a lot to do with the trust that we have for the CRAs that we're already working with. If we trust one of our CRAs, we've been working with them for 5, 6, 7 years, and they come to us and like, hey, there's this person I've been working with. They need a job. You know, what do you think? We'd be like, yeah, that's awesome. Let's move them to the front of the list because we trust you. We've worked with you. And why would we not, you know, add this person to the front? Because we assume that they're in the same boat as you, that they're just as good as you are. But also, that doesn't mean that you get to bypass the process. You're still going to do references and all that stuff. We're still going to make sure that you're good. So it's not like a 100% boost. But and then also, but on the other hand, if someone who we have either proven to be fraudulent, we can't confirm that they are who they are, and they come to us and want to refer you, we're not going to look at you, maybe. we're going to try to see who you are, but like, it's like, we don't trust this person, so I don't know if I want to trust you. There's this person that keeps emailing myself and Carrie once every month or two, and she keeps trying to, we've already found with this person that, you know, we can't confirm who they are and stuff, but they keep trying to refer this person, and they keep changing the nickname, but they keep like this like name that's like obviously fake in it. And they just keep emailing us once every month or two. And I just kind of look at the email and I'm like, oh, that's so nice. Delete. I can't. I'm like, oh, it's the same person with a new name again. So, you know, same stuff. So it's like, make sure that the
people. It's almost like don't try too hard.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Don't try too hard because then we can really smell it.
And be careful who's in your network too. Be careful who you align yourself with. That's really key because some people get lost who are valid people, but they've hitched their wagon to other people who may have faked it till they made it in a certain way. And then now your brand is linked with their brand, and that's a tricky thing to get out of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just goes to show how creative these guys are that are committing fraudulence. To your point, Savannah, we had a guy way back that changed his name like 5 or 6 times. And in our database, we probably had like 12 names, but he was always so stupid. He always used the same telephone number so we could always find him in our database, right? But it was that same thing. He would always call, yes, my name is Alexander. My name is John. My name is this. My name is that, you know, hoping that we would give him a call back. But, you know, people get real creative with the fraudulence. And that is exactly what we're dealing with. It's a churn on our side as well to find the real people. But referrals are definitely a great way to get broken in, not just with us, but with other companies too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also agree with what Jenny and Savannah mentioned as well, as far as trying to make yourself stand out and not be that ghost or the fake candidate or anything like that. A big part of it is that human outreach to the individual or the company or the hiring manager. What I would recommend, and a question that I would ask, is if you were a candidate today, if I was a candidate today myself, where would I spend an hour in job hunting time? And I would say it would be about a total of 1 hour. I would focus on like what I'm looking for in a company and customize my applications, like what you were mentioning, Angela and Becky, with the keywords and things like that, rather than just apply, apply, apply. And I would spend 30 minutes on LinkedIn for that company and the people that work there, just to get a feel of the company, and tailored the resume, or if you do an outreach to that manager or whomever, you know, or, oh, I, you know, this person looks like they know what, you know, something that I've done, or, you know, similar to what you're looking for, reach out to them, but make it personable, conversational. Don't sound like another generic applicant. And I also want to mention that not only is the human outreach important, but something that Jenny mentioned about as far as the brand, if you're going to send an email, make sure your picture is decent. Like, you know, you have those little pictures in your email icon, or the name. I had to tell my husband yesterday, I think you need to change your picture because you have to send a resume out. It's on your email because it's like a rapper he liked from high school times. So I was like, I think you may need to change that picture and just put your initials on it, like that little icon. So little things like that, you know, you just want to personalize it, but also obviously follow the directions that the company is giving you to apply, and references like Savannah mentioned, but just have that human touch to it because that's what they're looking for.
I love this conversation too, because the whole thing just sounds like robots versus humans. It's like we've got a war to win, and we're
it
like,
does, doesn't it?
I know. I was like, I've got to beat the robots. But my thought is like, you know how you win against the robots? You throw a glass of water on them. Like, what are they going to do? And that's kind of like, it's like melting down the fear around the ATS. Like, yeah, you know what? The robots are dumb, though. They only know what you tell them. So if the ATS system only tells them to do one word or look at this one thing or do this thing, that's all it's going to do. Computers are stupid. Don't fear the computers. What you have to enjoy, though, don't get sucked into that fear. Instead, enjoy and really relish in the human connection, because at the core of all of this, behind all of the strategy of all of this, is people want to hire who they trust. People want to have that human connection, like, hey, this person, this belief I have in this person, through these moments, through these network and outreach, I have full faith that they're going to help me with my problems. They're going to help me fix the world, you know, like, and that a robot can't do that. A robot will never be able to do that. You have such an advantage. So yeah, maybe the transactional layer of the ATS, scanning the resumes, you know, that changes the game a little bit. But what's more important is your judgment and your warmth and your ability to make someone feel like you understand their problem. And that's not you competing the boss or the bots. That's you operating in a layer that they just cannot reach, because a robot will never be able to do that. And as a side note too, as someone who sits on the other side of the apply button, I see all of your resumes come through. And let me tell you, I know the good ones from the bad ones, but I also know, like, I'm like, I know you are beyond the resume, and I'm ready for you to show me those human moments. So let's help me help you.
Because we want to hire, don't we?
We do want to hire you. Oh my gosh, do I want to hire you, please.
We can close the job and move on.
I know. Yeah. That's excellent. Let's do that. I'm like, yes, you're here. You're my new best friend. You're going to solve this problem for me. And then you turn around and you lied on your resume. I'm like, why would you lie to your new best friend? I am your new best friend and you lied to me. What?
Right. How dare you? I love it. And I feel like people get lazy sometimes. They're like, well, I know I can prove my worth when I talk to you, when I get the interview. You know, my resume. I've had it for 15 years. You know, it's good. It should be good enough. I have all this experience and I'll tell you about it. Well, you can't get there unless you optimize your resume at all the levels, your materials, your LinkedIn. Optimize it for the bots, but then optimize it for when the Mayas and the Mays and the Savannas and everybody looks at it. Once the human eyes look at it, make sure it's optimized for that level too. And then you can get that interview and talk about it. So there's so many layers. Don't be afraid of optimizing for all those layers. And then there's that hidden market we've been talked about. Angela just did a fantastic webinar about intentional networking. It was, I think, in the container of repositioning yourself after a layoff, but this is for anybody who's job seeking. And it links to what Maya was just saying. You've got to be an intentional connector. It's more about connecting with 5 key people rather than applying to 100 different jobs, right? No application can mention your name in a room that you didn't even know existed. These people can advocate for you. They can flag an opening before it's posted. They can say, hey, so-and-so, I know somebody who's going to be really great at this role. Let's consider them. That bypasses the whole thing. So this hidden market is the thing you want to tap into. So definitely go check out that webinar. You can find a lot of tips and tricks in there, but the key is that intentional connection. So you've got to make sure you're showing up at all of these steps, the ATS level, the humanized level, the networking level, and then eventually winning that interview. So any final thoughts, team, before we wrap this up?
No, I think this was great. And maybe there is one final thought, just reiterating the fact that jobs are open because companies need to hire you. And so not trying to undervalue what job seekers are going through, but trying to educate job seekers on what the hiring entities are going through. So meet us halfway, look real, look legit, and be human. Reach out to us. You know, if somebody reaches out to me on LinkedIn, I always read the outreach. Now, I don't always connect. It depends on the, you know, how good of an outreach it is, but I always read it, you guys. LinkedIn is a guaranteed read. It's not an email that's going to go into spam, right? You're going to see that red button every time you log into LinkedIn and you're going to go look at it. So be human, reach out. We're in a human industry. We're solving problems for human lives. Be human in your application process, and that'll get you a lot further than hitting the apply button.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, team, for this discussion. That's all the time we have today. Thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered straight to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.